So good morning once again. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and I'm going to read the first 13 verses. And as I said, if you have a red Bible in front of you, please turn to page 443. So the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he's going to kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" And Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his sight, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Then Jesse had Shammah passed by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to them, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are all these the sons you have?" "They're still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Well, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health, had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and he anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And Samuel went back to Ramah. That was the story of David being anointed to become a king. And what happens after he got anointed? Did the golden chariots show up? Were there hundreds of horses and drums banging and warriors showing their spears and their arrows? Were there throngs of people clapping and having a great time? Here, this young teenager had just been anointed to become a king. Was there celebrations and all kinds of wonderful things happening? No. He was anointed. And when he was anointed, he had no idea what life was going to be like for him going forward. None. And without going through a lot of detail, his life had many ups and downs. His life, okay, had been planned by God in advance. And here is David, knowing he's going to be a king, and had no idea what was going to happen. He ended up playing the harp for a crazy king who had just been told by Samuel that he was not going to be the king any longer. That was Saul. As a young teenager, he throws a stone and brings down Goliath. Saul becomes so jealous of David that he, even at the times when David was there playing the lyre to try and calm Saul down, Saul threw a spear at him and tried to kill him twice. You think David ever thought these kinds of things? These are trials and tests that David was going through, having been anointed. You would think, well, if he's anointed, life's just going to be super easy. It wasn't. He had a great friend, Jonathan, but his great friend Jonathan died in war. He got married to Saul's daughter. I wonder if that's a trial. I don't know. He got married to Saul's daughter. Her name was Michal. At age 30. So, teenager, anointed, you're going to be a king. And at the age of 30, okay, he does become the king of Judah for 7 years in the city of Hebron. And then after that 7 year period, he then becomes the king of Israel for another 33 years. He went through many wars. He captured Jerusalem away from the Jebusites. He brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. He sinned terribly. And of course, sometimes when you mention David's name, the first thing that people think of, oh, he is a sinner. Well, we all are. Okay, so that shouldn't be a secret. But the interesting thing about his sin, terrible as it was, he repented, and he repented with such a heart that you can read it in Psalm 51. Solomon, his son, is born. And another son of his, Absalom, he rebels against his father. How would you like to have your son rebel against you and be chasing you to kill you? He was at war with the Philistines for the last 5 years of his life. Absalom died, his son who tried to kill him, and David mourned about it. And finally, at the age of 70, which in biblical terms seems quite young, at the age of 70, David died. You see, he was 30 years old. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4, it says, in 2 Samuel 5, verse 4, he died 30 years. I'm sorry, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. So 30 plus 40, he died at 70 years old. You think David really knew? You're anointed by a priest, you are anointed to become a king, and you think your life might be easy, but no, God anointed him for a purpose. And during in fulfilling that purpose, David went through some very, very tough times. Had to hide in the cave, being chased. Very difficult. What about some others that have been anointed when you read about them in the Bible? How about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? They all had purposes and missions and objectives to fulfill, but their lives were not easy. How about Joseph? Oh, Joseph, his brothers throw him in a pit and leave him there so he can get sold. And then after he's sold, he ends up going to Egypt, does extremely well there, and then all of a sudden ends up in prison for 2 years. What kind of an anointing do you think that was? Anointed to go through these troubles. How about Moses? How about Daniel? Daniel in the lion's den. That's a bit of, but there was God right beside him the whole time. And we can go through a whole bunch of others in the Bible of people who were anointed. The apostles, the prophets, Paul. Saul became Paul. And his life wasn't easy either. He went and preached the gospel, but suffered physically many, many, many times. How about us? How about all of us in this room? Have we been anointed? Have you been chosen and anointed? Have you?
Yes.
The answer is yes. Okay, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. We have been, if you have received Jesus Christ into your life, you have been anointed by having received the Holy Spirit, and it's a deposit, it's a guarantee of what is to come. What is to come? What is to come? Yeah, eternal life is to come. In fact, you have it now if you've received Christ. Okay. What is to come? Do we know what's going to happen between now and that time in the future? When, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, when Christ appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. But you're anointed now. You don't have the crown yet. David was anointed. It took him over 15 years before he received a physical crown. What lies ahead of us? What lies ahead of us? It's not a chariot and drums banging and trumpets blowing and the easy life that we just take for granted and the life is just going to be wonderful. I received Christ and now all my problems are gone. No, that's not true. That's not what God said. He says, I'm anointing you. You will have a crown. But he also warns us. He warns us. In our Bible study recently, in John chapter 15, Christ tells people, you're going to get persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. Because of what you believe, you're going to be persecuted because of my name, the name of Jesus Christ. And that's not just physical persecution. Persecution comes in many flavors, folks. In the book of James, he says, once you've been anointed, consider it joy when we face trials. Why? Because Christ is preparing us for when we will receive that crown. He's preparing us. Yet, he also tells us that he's beside us. And that no matter what, you're not to worry about tomorrow. Let's just get through this day, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You think David and Joseph and Paul and all these others didn't make it through? They made it through the day. They had the endurance and the perseverance because they knew God was with them. They knew they can put their faith, their trust, and totally in God's hands. See, we have been chosen and anointed with a plan and a purpose for each and every person. Guaranteed, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Thanks to our King and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been anointed to be saved. We have been anointed to use the gifts that God has given us. And we have been anointed to witness and to proclaim the truth. Anointed to witness and proclaim the truth. I read this thing the other day and it was not startling. I just thought it was interesting. It was in a commentary, and the person wrote, "You come to church not to watch over the fish tank." Okay, got it. You come to church to be fishers of men. Right? You're not here to protect the tank. We're here to witness. And that's what we are to do in our lives. That's what we've anointed to do. It says in John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. If you have received Christ, the truth is revealed to you, that the only way, the truth, the way, and the life comes from Jesus Christ, and it's the only way. There is no other way. You've been given that truth, and you have been anointed. You've been anointed to receive a crown in the future, but you've also been anointed to go through whatever Christ has prepared for each and every one of us. It says in John, further on in verse 27 of the same chapter, he says, "As for you," he's talking to many people here, "as for you, the anointing you received from Jesus, from him, remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Christ." The anointing of the Holy Spirit allows us to remain in Christ, and it is there to teach us. We have been anointed. And the teaching isn't just reading God's word, which we must do. Teaching is living the life and the trials and the tests and the challenges and the joys that Christ will put in front of us, just like he did for David and Joseph and everyone else. You see, Christ remains in us and leads us by and through the Holy Spirit. We are to trust and rely on Christ as David did through his life. David, a man after God's own heart, in his last days, having experienced those trials of life, some of which we've touched on very briefly, he gave Solomon, his son, some instructions. You see, the interesting part was that Solomon was to take on a pretty big task. And David knew that Solomon needed some guidance. So he gave instructions to Solomon just before he died. And those instructions are in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. And as we go through this text, where it says the word Solomon, put your own name in there. Okay? "And you, my son or daughter, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." So we could just do this one more time, okay? I'll put in, anybody want me to put in their name? Somebody can raise their hand. I don't mind, okay? I'll put in John, okay? "And you, my son John, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." Write this scripture. You should underline in your Bible. Whenever you feel a little low, you don't know what to pray about, go and read this, put your name in it. Because there are at least five things he's telling us in this scripture to do if we are going to get from being anointed to receiving the crown. He says, acknowledge the God of your father. Get to know him. Know God. And serve him with a wholehearted devotion. That's learn. What he's saying is learn and obey God's commands and try to work out his will in your life. Serve him with a wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. It says, the Lord searches. It says, if you seek him, be faithful, seek Christ, seek God. Worship him wholeheartedly, it says, wholehearted devotion. Serve. So know God. Learn and obey his commands. Worship him wholeheartedly. Learn how to serve. Serve him and serve those whom he's called. Be faithful and seek him. Because he's the only way. He is the only way. He is the only way to receiving that crown that has been told to us. You are have been anointed to receive a crown, but to get there, thanks to David giving this instruction that was inspired by God to his son, he tells us the formula. Getting to know God, how do we get to know God? Prayer. Maintain and continue and maintain that relationship through his word and walking in his spirit. That's how we do it. It's interesting. David also told one more thing to his son. And this was after he had told them that you've got to go and build a temple. David had said, look, you're going to go and build a temple to the Lord. And just I have a hard time picturing this. Okay, here's David. He's 70 years old. He's telling his son, who is about to be a king, and when you become this king, Solomon, one of the things you're going to be asked to do is to build this temple. And just to make sure you get it right, I've already got all the materials ready, waiting for you to build the temple. Okay. Now, if anybody has built anything, Jason, Peter, and others, you know, you get all the materials ready and you have to store them up somewhere and they have to be accessible and so on. Get this. The temple materials, just in precious metals, 170 tons of gold. Where do you put 170 tons of gold? Oh, by the way, right beside it, 380 tons of silver. And right beside the 380 tons of silver were 675 tons of bronze. All there. Solomon, it's waiting for you. Now go build the temple. Oh, there's 150,000 laborers, 70,000 working on the temple, and 80,000 out carving rock to be used to build the temple. Right? And here's this young Solomon, and he's got, huh? I got to build a temple with all this stuff? All right. So what does David, his dad, say? He says, David also said to Solomon, this is at the end of, almost at the end of chapter 28. He also said to his son Solomon, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work of the service for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. He's saying the same thing to us, right? Our temple is our bodies. We receive the Holy Spirit. That's true. But he's also saying, look, you're on this journey. Just like David did from the time he was anointed to the time he received his crown. You're on this journey. And you're going to hit some tough times. You're going to have to build, as Solomon, you're going to have to build this. You think it's going to be easy to manage tons of gold and bronze and silver and bricks and stone and 150,000 laborers without some kind of challenges and tough times and rocky roads? And, oh man, can you imagine that? It's huge. But God says, no. Just be strong and courageous. Don't be discouraged, because why? God is with us. He's with us if we are anointed and you see the crown ahead of you. We don't know what's coming in between, but the guarantee following the formula that we read in the previous verse and the other guarantee that goes with it is God is with you. He's with us so that we will fulfill his purpose. As was promised to David and to all those others that have been anointed, We, too, will be with Christ for eternity, and we will have a crown. Isn't that incredible? We are anointed. Receive Christ and be anointed. Just close with a prayer. Great God, our Father in heaven, help us to keep our hearts and minds on what we have been anointed for. Help us to keep our hearts and minds to understand who has anointed us. Help us to keep our hearts and minds on who is with us always on this journey. Give us the strength and the courage. May we heed the same instructions that David gave to his son Solomon. May we heed those and do them and look forward as your anointed ones to the kingdom to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.